So we spent the last 2 days, yesterday, the day before, in the world of Not Barnats, in the world of Tom Sheney, in the world of dairy equipment, right? And we saw the Gemara says that, of course, Tosefta says to make milchik food in a fleshik pot, that's dangerous. That's what we call a tam rishon. The fleshik pot is a tam rishon or fleshik. For that to interact directly with the milchik food or even with a milchik ladle, that's a real problem. But if you just have parva food in the fleshik pot, parva food in the milchik pot, the pasta that you made in the clean milchik pot, the pasta you made in the clean fleshik pot, that is offhand and not barnat. So he said, Ashkenaz, Svardim consider that to be fully parv, and Ashkenazim are somewhat machmir because of the shita of the Rivan, Machlokas Rivan or Menu Tam, we discussed yesterday in Tosfos. So he said, the Ashkenazim treat the dairy equipment food as mildly milchik. Right? If it was actually not just put into the dairy pot, but actually cooked in the dairy pot, so then, and it was a ben yomo dairy pot, so then Ashkenaz would say, don't sprinkle cheese on it. Eat it without cheese. For a fleshik pot. Don't sprinkle the cheese on it. You could eat it on milchik kelim, you could eat it after when you're fleshik, but don't eat it with the cheese. Okay, so that was the machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfarim. But lamaisa, we basically consider dairy equipment food to be more or less parv. Sfarim considered fully parv. Ashkenazim are somewhat machmer for the sheet of Rivan. But again, the Gemara said that dairy equipment food is basically parv. Dagum sha'alu b'ka'ara, and again, certainly if you didn't actually cook it in the pan, you had parva pasta from the parva pot, and you put it onto a milchik plate, everyone agrees, even the Rivan, that is totally parv. That's the sheet of Shmuel. Right? And with that, we pick up on the second to last line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Hilchasa. Amar Chizki Meshom Abaye. Again, the very, the bottom line, right? Literally. The bottom line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. What's the bottom line, the Gemara says? Halacha Lamaisa. Achizki Akot Meshom Abaye. Hilchasa Dag Mishalu Bika'ara Mutar La Achlan Bekutach. The fish that you hot fish, you put them onto a fleshik plate, they remain totally parv. And take them off that plate and enjoy them with cheese. Take them off that plate and enjoy them with, what do you call it, Asher? Tzatziki? Tzatziki? What's the yogurt sauce? Tzatziki? Okay. Then the Gemara says there's a second half to that hilchasa, which we had intentionally not read yesterday, and now we're ready to read it. So on the one hand, Dag Mishal B'Ka'ara, totally parv. Hot fish on the fleshik plate, stay totally parv. On the other hand, Tzanon Shechasacho B'Sakin, if you have that sharp radish that you chopped with a knife, what type of knife? Sakin Shechatach B'Basar, a knife that you had used for cutting hot meat. In other words, if you cut the radish, a sharp radish, with a fleshik knife, asr la'achlo bekutach, you cannot eat that in a milchik sauce. That's the full hilchasa. The fish you put hot into the fleshik plate stays parv. But the radish that you cut with a fleshik knife, that becomes fleshik. You can't eat it with milchiks. That is the full hilchasa. Again, the last two lines on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Literally the bottom line. That's the bottom line of the sugya. That if you hot food on a fleshik plate stays parav, but sharp food cut with a fleshik knife becomes fleshik. Anything strike you as strange about that? Olam hafach ra'isi. It's upside down. Right? The ultimate in delivery of Tom transfer is heat. And that's always the gold standard. The classic method, we've been spoken about different methods of Tom transfer. So the gold we spoke about, yeah, you could have Tom transfer. Remember early on the Yom, we said, Moliach Kiroseach, if it's salty, machlokas whether it's only when there's no drainage, but if it's salty, there's tamas transferred. If you have kavush soaking for 24 hours in liquid, tamas transferred. But the gold standard, the classic transfer of tamas, through heat. And here we're saying you have hot fish on a fleshik plate, it stays parav, not by not. But you cut a radish with a cold radish with a fleshik knife, and all of a sudden the radish is fleshik? Really? How to become fleshik? It's just a not by not. No? Right? And again, I don't know how many of you have sharp radishes in your kitchens, but you probably all, or almost all, have onions in your kitchen. So you cut the onion. You cut the onion with a fleshik knife. So you've all heard this. Oh, now that onion is fleshik. And if you want to use it, that's why parva knives are so important. The knife with a white handle, or whatever color means parva in your kitchen. And that's pretty critical, because you don't want to make the onion fleshik or milchik. Wait, make the onion fleshik or milchik by cutting with a knife? Now we know something about, we're starting to know something about basar b'chol. We know the idea of not by not. So that's no worse than a not by not. I used a fleshik knife. I use a fleshik knife to cut a parva onion, it should stay parv. And as a matter of fact, the Gemara puts it back to back. Not by not stays parv, but you cut the radish with a fleshik knife, it's fleshik. So the obvious question is, why? What is going on? So let's take a look at Rashi. You had a chance to take a little peek at Rashi. You'll look again later when we go back to Seder. Let's take a look at Rashi. Very, very important Rashi. Kidarko Bakodesh. Rashi is a little bit subtle. So let's see. Let's read one more line of the Gemara, and then we'll see Rashi. The Gemara says again from the beginning of the last line, Kufi Alfam Beis, Tzano Shechasacha Besakin, Shechatacha Abasar, I have a fleshik knife, and I use it to cut the sharp radish, the Tzanon, also Achle Bakutach. The radish becomes fleshik. But the Gemara says, the hani mili tzanon, only if it's a radish, only if it's a tzanon. Going on to kufi beis amud aleph, da agav churfe bala. It's because the radish is charif, it's sharp, it has charifus. You've heard in the past in a beis medrash context of someone has a charifus. They have a sharp vart, they have a sharp insight. That's what the word means. Charif. Here we don't mean that the radish is a big lamdan and a great diuk. I mean that the radish tastes sharp. But same idea. Agav churfei bala. This magic is only happening because the radish is sharp. Aval kishus. But if I had some other vegetable, squash, let's say. I have some squash. Zucchini. Well, that might be what kishus means. Zucchini, right, or a banana, as Wartelski is showing us. Right, so if you take a banana and you slice a banana with a fleshik knife, or you slice an apple with a fleshik knife, or you slice a carrot with a fleshik knife, or you slice a squash or cucumber with a fleshik knife, not pickled cucumber, but fresh cucumber, a vokishus. If you sliced a squash with a fleshik knife, don't worry. Garu lebei paski v'yachil. Then just scrape away the cut surface. In case there's any residue, a fleshik residue, you'll scrape it away. Clean the surface, v'yachil, but then eat it. There's no blia. There's no flavor gain absorbed into the squash or into the carrot or into the apple because it's not a davar charf. So far, we'll see Rashi in a moment and then we'll take a question very soon. But just to process what the Gemara just told us, the Gemara just said, the Gemara is dealing with the even more basic question. We were saying, hey, isn't it not by not? It should be parav because it's not by not. Forget about that. How is there any tam transfer at all? There's no heat. So the Gemara is explaining that there's a new method of tam transfer. One method of tam transfer is heat. A second method of tam transfer is maliach. A third method of tam transfer is kavush, soaking in liquid for 24 hours. And now we have a fourth method of tam transfer. Number four is davar charif. The sharpness of the of the tzinnon itself creates, just like salty stuff has a certain sharpness to it, and that takes the place of heat. So the sharpness of a sharp radish, also the davar charif, that creates tam transfer. Okay. So let's see Rashi, because Rashi is now going to address the second question. Okay, so we just uncovered a new method of tam transfer, davar charif. Davar charif. We have to figure out how it works. But Rashi wants to know, well, but isn't it just a not bar not? Even if it's a method of tam transfer, even if it was hot, hot heat is a method of tam transfer, but hot fish on a fleshic plate stays pyrav. So how come the sharp radish with the fleshic knife gets fleshic? So let's pick up from the third line in Rashi. See that Rashi? Kishus, the top of Kufi Beis Amud Aleph, by the Hilkach. See that? Hilkach. Rashi Kufi Beis Amud Aleph, the third line. Dag Mashiz, we can put it together. Dag Mashiz can have two answers. Two explanations of why is cutting a radish with a knife worse than putting hot fish on a plate. He says, Dagim sha'alu bika'ara mutul achlam bakuta. The hot fish on the plate stays parv. You can eat it with milchiks. Kidda amar, as we said. Right? That stays parv. Why? De'ein no sin tam habam and hamamish. Ela no sin tam habam no sin tam. The hot fish on the plate, it's not absorbing flavor directly from fleishik. It's no saint tam from a no saint tam. It's a no saint tam by no saint tam, right? There's no fleishik residue on the plate. The fleishik went into the plate, and then the next step would be from the plate to the fish. That would be a not by not. Why is it a not by not? Because the plate is clean. Zastam ka'ara mekanchenosa mishum and hakorish aleha mishumius. The normal humane thing to do is to have clean plates. You do not leave your plates dirty from one meal to the next. That's not civilized, Rashi says. We have the right to assume that people are civilized. We have the right to assume that if you take a plate out of the cabinet, it is clean. If not, you should learn how to wash dishes. Right? We have the right to assume that dishes are clean. And again, it would have been a little more of a chiddush back in the old days when they didn't have running water, certainly not running hot water. They didn't have detergent that was as convenient as ours. They didn't have sponges that were as convenient as ours. Okay, but still, it took more work in the old days to get clean plates than it does nowadays. They didn't have a dishwasher. It wasn't so easy to do it in the sink either, like we were talking about yesterday, Rabbeinu Baruch. But okay, Lamaisa, people keep their dishes clean. In a well-run home, in a typical well-run home, people keep their dishes clean. So Mimela, so Rashi says, Teretz number one, what's the chilak between Dag Mashal B'Ka'ara versus Tznon Shechazach B'Sakin? Answer number one is plates are clean, whereas by the Tznon, Aval, at the Aleph of the Bach, L'Sakin Pa'amim Shasham Nunis Karashalav, the Eino Nikar. Knives, Rashi says, are not always clean. Sometimes knives stay greasy. Why do sometimes knives stay greasy? Well, he probably means that in the old days, before running hot water and handy-dandy sponges, to clean a knife was not a simple matter. You have a little bit of grease stuck on the knife, and you don't want to lose a finger. And we're all pro-cleanliness, but not at the cost of your fingertips. So people often did not clean their knives as well as they cleaned their plates. It wasn't such a simple thing to do. So Rashi says, Lamaisa, knives sometimes have gook on them. Not big chunks of gook. But he says, Shamnunus, you have a little bit of grease left, the Eno Nikar. A little bit that's not so evident. Oh, that's Rashi's first answer. So therefore, Rashi's first answer is, when you know why the radish becomes fleshik? It's a not bar not. The answer is no. Incorrect. It ain't. It ain't a not bar not. It's a not. It's a tam rishon. Because it's going straight from the flesh of grease on the knife into the radish. Kishachosech b'tznon, havinosein tam habam and amamish. Oh, that's the answer. First answer in Rashi. The reason why cutting sharp food with a knife is a problem is because we're worried that the knife is greasy. By the way, two questions to think about. According to Rashi, is the din true? According to the first pshat in Rashi, is the din still true b'zman hazeh or no? What would you say? Give me one finger if you think according to first pshat in Rashi the din stayed the same, and two fingers if you think the din changed b'zman hazeh. Right? So I see a lot of two fingers. That's right, because Rashi says that the difference, the first teretz in Rashi, that the difference between the dagim sha'ol b'ka'ara and the cutting with a knife is a physical difference between plates and knives. And that difference is no longer the case. Nowadays, our knives are clean. It's easy to get clean knives. If you put it in the dishwasher, it'll be clean, or in the sink. You have modern detergent, and you have a modern sponge, and you can very safely get your knives nice and clean without chas v'shalom risking your fingers. So b'zman hazeh, if you look in a modern kitchen, the knives are as clean as anything else. So if the difference between the dagim and the tzanon is that the knives are dirty, b'zman hazeh the knives are clean. So according to the first pshat in Rashi, if you cut your onions nowadays with a fleishik knife, it's a naparnat, and therefore it is parav. Your knife is clean. It was cleaned with a palm olive. It was cleaned with Dawn, whatever you use. Nice and clean. It's no worse than anything else. Oh. And on the other hand, back in the old days, it was true that if you cut a cold, sharp radish with a knife, it became fleishik. It was also true that if you had hot pasta and you chopped it with a fleishik knife, it also became fleishik because the knife was covered with grease. It didn't matter what the method of time transfer was, whether it was charif or whether it was heat, right? The concern was knives are greasy, knives aren't clean. That was the concern back in the old days. But then Rashi says there's another solution. The other answer is at the end, again, we're at the end of the first Rashi and Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph, the word va'od, third line from the end of Rashi. Rashi Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph Diamasal Kishos. Va'od, Rashi says, here's another answer. The other answer is the other Shita in Rashi. You know why the hot fish on the plate stay parav, but the radish cut with the fleishik knife become fleishik. Rashi says, the ode, de mishum churfe bola tfe midagim haroschim. It's not that the knife is greasy. Second pshat Rashi, this is part of the magic of davar charif. Davar charif is unusually, when you have sharp food, it has superpowers. Davar charif can do things that other things cannot. And Rashi's second teretz is, normally, not barnat is parav. But it's not that knives are different than plates. It's that tsunon is different than dagim. Maybe it's the magic of a davar charif. Davar charif amps up the flavor. If you're dealing with a sharp food, all the other flavors get enhanced also. So that little, remember going back to yesterday's ran, not barnat, there's a little bit of flavor, not enough to really matter. Yeah, but in the presence of a davar charif, even a little bit of flavor matters. So the difference between the first pshat in Rashi and the second pshat in Rashi is, number one, let's say my knife is clean. What should the din be if my knife is clean? And let's, without further ado, take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Here we go. Simen Sadi Vav. We were taking a look last few days at Simen Sadi Hey, which was not barnat, and now we turn to Davar Charif in particular. Simen Sadi Vav. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Sadi Vav, Sif Aleph, Tzanon O Silka, a sharp vegetable, Shechasacham B'Sakin Shel Basar Ben Yomo. I cut them with a Ben Yomo knife. O She'enu Mekunach. Or, it's not clean. It wasn't wiped clean. Asr la'achlam b'chalav. You're not allowed to eat that sharp vegetable with milk. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Like the first shita in Rashi or the second shita in Rashi? What would you say? Again, the first shita in Rashi said the reason why the sharp vegetable cut with a knife, it becomes fleishik is because there's grease there. The second shita said even without the grease, davar charif is an exception to the rule of napanat. How does Shulchan Aruch paskin? Is he makel like the first shita in Rashi or is he machmer like the second shita in Rashi? It's a little tricky, right? One, two. See, what he did is he quoted both cases, right? He said that the din of the sharp vegetable becoming fleishik applies either if it's enu makunach, if the knife is greasy, or if it's ben yomo, meaning it's clean, but it has an absorbed flavor in the last 24 hours of fleishik. Either way, it makes the sharp vegetable fleishik. So what he's saying is, either way it becomes fleishik. The first sheet in Rashi held, the only way it could become fleishik, the only way this is an exception, not but not, is if the knife is actually greasy. Right? But Shulchan Aruch doesn't demand that. He says, that's true. If you have a greasy knife and you cut a vegetable with a sharp vegetable with a greasy knife, yeah, it'll become fleishik. But he said it could be that or just ben yomo. It's absorbed fleishik flavor. If I use this knife to cut the skirt steak last night, hot skirt steak, and I cleaned it off, scrubbed it safely, but scrubbed it, my fingers are safe and my knife is clean. And this morning I used that knife to thinly slice onions for a ratatouille. Those onions are fleishik, even though the knife is clean. So the Shulchan Aruch is clearly paskening lahachmir like the second shita in Rashi. In other words, there are at least two elements of the magic of davar charif. Davar charif, if you have a sharp vegetable, it's an exception to already two rules. One rule is that usually for blia you need heat. And here we have one of our special types of blia betzonin. If you have a sharp food, it causes absorption of flavor even without heat. Number two, in terms of the magic of davar charif, is that davar charif, as we see, Shulchan Aruch passing like the second sheet in Rashi, that davar charif is an exception to the rule of not bar not. And that is the halacha lemaisa accepted way to read the last two lines on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Again, Rashi and Kuf Yud Beis have presented two ways to understand the last two lines of the Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph. Right? Why is it that when you cut the radish with a fleishik knife, it becomes fleishik? Why is that an exception to not bar not? So the first pshat in Rashi was, it's not an exception. It's just that the knife is dirty. So this isn't a tam sheni, it's a tam rishon. It isn't a not bar not. That was the first pshat in Rashi, but we don't accept that. We said, no. It could be an not bar not. Clean knife. Hey, cut an onion, cut a radish with a clean knife. It still becomes fleishik. I thought not bar not. That's right. But davar charif is an exception to the rule of not bar not. When you're dealing with a davar charif, it becomes fully fleishik, which, by the way, means that if you chop a radish with a clean fleishik knife, the radish becomes fleishik. Or if you sauté, let's say you cut it with the power of a knife, but then you threw it into a fleishik pan. But the radish is a davar charif. So it's gonna be, if I put pasta into the fleishik pot, dairy equipment, fleishik equipment, so my Ashkenazim are machmer a little bit, but it's not fully fleishik, it's not fully milchik. But if it's sharp foods, I was making vegetable soup in a fleishik pot, and I started by sautéing onions in the pot. So those onions became mamish fleishik, really fleishik, without the five kulos of the Ramah. It's really fleishik, because davar charif is an exception to the normal kula of not bar not. That is the din halacha lamaisa. But before we even go on, let's explain this a little bit more before we get too carried away with the magic of davar charif. Let's just talk about this for a moment. Let's say I have some horseradish, and I just put it in a fleishik bowl. Did that now become fleishik? Because the davar charif is in a fleishik bowl. What's this fourth method of tam transfer, davar charif? So take a look at the Taz. Let's go back into Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at the Taz. On the next page. See, he quotes Rashi, the Rashi we just read. So at the bottom, not the next page, here at the bottom of the first page of Siman Saivav, the Taz in the middle of Sifkan Gimel, you see where it's pointing to? The Ode, he's quoting Rashi, Mishum Churfei de Tznon, it's the sharpness of the Tznon, the Agav Duchke de Sakina, together with the pressure of the knife, the Dochak, the pressure of the knife, Polat fei midag harosen is going to be cause more transfer of taste than the hot fish. Kain pirish Rashi. So says the Taz, mizeh nirali. The Taz says, betamcha, if I have tamcha, shakorin, crane, what we call crane, horseradish. If you have horseradish, shenimlal tokai recholevis, you just put it loosely into a milchik plate, nikia, a clean milchik plate, Mutter lechel oso hakrein im basar. You're still allowed to eat that horseradish with meat. For those of you who like having what's it called, a Reuben sandwich, I think. That's where you have the right. That Reuben sandwich, I think, is sauerkraut and corned beef. Right? Am I right? And some people like to add horseradish. It's a twist on the Reuben sandwich. Actually, it sounds strange, but it's actually really good. Try a white horseradish. White horseradish with cold steak or white horseradish with corned beef. It's actually a great combination. So the Taz says, right, that was a thing in the old days also, having chrein on your meat. How about if the chrein had been previously placed into a, it had been sitting in a clean milchig bowl? The Taz wants to know, did I now lose my chance to have my Reuben sandwich? Can I still have that chrein with fleishik? He says, yes. Crane shenimlach toch kaira cholevas. It had been loosely sitting in a milchik plate, nikia, a clean milchik plate. Mutter lechel oso crane basa. You're allowed to eat it with meat. Why? Ki ein kan ducha de sakina. There's no pressure from the knife. Velo shamnunis, and there's no grease. So in other words, the Taz just told us is a very important idea. When we think about the different methods of tam transfer, there's heat, there's kavush, soaking in liquor for 24 hours, there's maliach, salty, and there's number four is a compound. It's a combination of davar charif plus duchka de sakina. It has to be a sharp food combined with pressure. That's how the Taz read, that was his diuk, from that Rashi we just read. So what does that mean, Lamaisa? If I cut if I cut the onion with a knife, so then it becomes, with a fleishik knife, it becomes fleishik. Or, this comes up all the time, if you have pickles in a jar, the old pickle in a jar, how do you get the pickles out of the jar? Right, so there are different shitas. If the jar has a very wide mouth, so the yesh mekilim to stick your fingers in. I'm not taking a stand on the propriety of that. But if you're sharing that jar with other, if you're not the only person in your family who likes pickles, that's really not so polite. Well, let's leave it at that. Right? So how do you get the pickles out of the jar? Well, obviously, take a fork and stick it in. Whoa! Take a fork and stick it in? That's what we call duchka de sakina. It's not pressure from the knife, it's pressure from the fork, all the same thing. If you're stabbing a pickle with a fork, if that's a fleshig fork or a milchig fork, you just made your pickle milchig or fleshig. And especially since there's always a chance when you go fishing for pickles that they fall back in, right? And then now they fall back into the juice. You could, if you go fishing for spear fishing for pickles in the jar with your clean fleshig fork, you could very quickly end up with a fleshig jar of pickles. And that's a terrible thing if people want to have pickles tomorrow with their tuna fish on the in the tuna melt. So if you have the combination of sharp food and pressure, that's those two things together, whether that pressure is chopping with a knife or that pressure is puncturing with a fork. Or take a look at Se'iv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch. Here we are. This says Shulchan Aruch is quoting from Rabbeinu Baruch. Tavlin shenidochu b'meducha shel basar. If I ground spices in a fleshig grinder, I have a fleshig mortar and pestle. You know that old school, that thing that you pound to powder things, to grind things. So we tend to buy, most of us buy our spices in the jar. They already come ground. I buy a jar of ground black pepper. I buy a jar of ground garlic. Of ground paprika. Okay. But let's say I actually have a spice grinder. Right? So you have a spice grinder. If it's pariv, everything stays pariv. But if you have a grinder that you sometimes use for meat to grind a piece of meat into ground beef, a fleshig grinder, and you take peppercorns, and you grind your pepper in the fleshig grinder, aser la'achlam b'chalav. That's now fleshig pepper. So that's another type of duchka, of pressure. Again, it could be the pressure of a knife chopping, it could be pressure of a fork spearing, puncturing, or it could be the pressure of a grinder pounding, pounding and milling and grinding. So that's this fourth method of tam transfer is the davar charif plus duchka de sakina. If you just stuck a spoon in to scoop out some horseradish from the jar, that doesn't make it fleshig. Or if you take a spoon, stick it, you have those little baby gherkins, you have that jar of mini pickles, so you take a spoon to scoop out pickles, that stays parv. Assuming this spoon is clean, that stays parv. Because yes, the pickles are a davar charif. So yes, the pickles are a davar charif, but there was no, if you just stuck in a spoon, there was no duchka, there was no pressure. The flavor is transferred when there's davar charif plus the pressure. So again, what we've learned so far in the world of davar charif, two major ideas. Two major ideas. Let's recap where we're at so far, and we'll take some questions, and we'll go to Seder. We're going to finish the Sukkah of Davar Charif from Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. There's more to come. But for now, two major ideas. Number one, everyone agrees, this is not a Safek in Rashi, everyone agrees that the Gemara was mechadesh, a new method of tam transfer. Without heat, without salt, without 24-hour liquid soak, davar charif is a new method of tam transfer. But as the Taz was medayik, the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel was medayik from this Rashi we read, the end of Dibur Ma'aseh Kishus, and as the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel quoted from Rabbeinu Baruch, this new method of tam transfer is only davar charif plus duchka de sakina, the sharpness of the food together with the pressure of a knife, the pressure of a fork, the pressure of a grinder. It has to be the combination of those two, the duchka and the davar harav, together create tam transfer without any heat. That's chiddush number one of davar harav, and everyone agrees to that. The second chiddush of davar harav, which was a safek in Rashi, it was a machlokas between the two perushim and Rashi, but the Shulchan Aruch is clear how we paskin, is davar harif also an exception to the usual kula of not bar nat, of tam sheni? In other words, why it looks like it's not bar nat. I have a fleshig knife, I'm using it to cut a par of a vegetable, and why is it any different than taking par of a fish and putting them hot onto a fleshig plate? Right? That case is parv, but with the knife and the radish, all of a sudden it's fleshig. I say again, Rashi, what had begun as a kasha in the Gemara became a machlokas lahalacha. Right? How come the radish becomes fleshig? Why not just chalk it up to not but not stays parv? So the first answer was the difference is the knife. The second answer was the difference is the sharp vegetable. The first answer was knives. We can't assume that knives are clean. Stam knives have a little bit of grease. It's scary to really clean a knife. You could cut your finger. So you get it mostly clean, but you're not going to really get everything off. Unlike the plates, the knives will not be squeaky clean. So that was Rashi's first answer. In other words, not bar nat is where you have a clean fleshik kli, but the knives are greasy. So that's not tam sheni. That isn't not bar nat. That's tam rishon. You have the radish in direct presence of some fleshig grease. No, so of course that's fleshig. That was Rashi's first answer. That's because of knives. Knives are greasy. But we're not makel that way. It's true. If you do have a greasy knife or a greasy spoon or a greasy pot, obviously it's going to make whatever you put into it. If the grease is fleshig, the food becomes fleshig. That's the Devar Pashut. But we accept lahalacha Rashi's, even Rashi's second answer, which was, it's not just that, it's not a difference between knives and plates, it's a difference between radish and fish. The fish is not a sharp food. Hot, okay. So that creates time transfer heat. But it's not sharp, so it creates time transfer, but not by not, remains pyro. But sharp food, now that the sharp food creates time transfer, it amps up the flavor so that even a not by not counts. So if you're not by not going into davar harif, that davar harav will become fleshik. Whether the method of tam transfer from the kli to the onion is davar harav plus duchu de sakina, or whether the method of tam transfer is heat, I'm sauteing onions in a clean fleshik pan, those onions are fully fleshik. If you mix in other food afterwards, all that food is going to be fleshik, fleshik, fleshik. That's the second magic of davar harav. Not only is davar harav a method of tam transfer, davar harav enhances the flavor such that it's an exception to the usual heter of not bar nat. And that's why when you cut your onions with a clean fleshig knife, they become fleshig. When you saute onions in a clean fleshig pan, the onions become fleshig. That is clearly how we paskin. And those are the first two chidushim of davar harav. Both that it's a method of tam transfer and that it amps up the flavor and will become fleshik or milchik, as the case may be, even if it's merely a not bar not. There's more to come tomorrow, but first questions. Moshe has been waiting. Nasanel, yeah, Moshe. Yeah, great question. Should there be a bittul b'shishim? That's a good question. How do you think of bittul b'shishim? So the truth is, the question of bittul b'shishim, you want to figure out, how big is the onion? And I have a thin knife, and the flavor is getting spread throughout this big onion. So maybe, the truth is something I did not want to get into. In general, we have not been getting into one of the dimensions of basar b'chal that we've been, touching on very lightly, not really getting into, is actually the question of getting into. I mean, how far does the flavor spread in it with a given method of time transfer? Right? Does it spread throughout the whole piece? Right, that was the Mishnah in of Tipas Chalav, Chulun Kufches. Our Mishnah had raised that, spreading through the whole piece, spreading through the whole pot. Sometimes it spreads less. You know, maybe by salty stuff, it only spreads for the first thin layer, Kedei Klipa. There are sometimes the post can say it spreads for the first inch, Kedei Netila. So it happens to be by Davar. I don't want to get too deep into this. Sorry for the pun. But it happens to be a three-way machlokas harishonim by Davar Charif. Does it only go the first klipa, first thin peel, or does it go the first inch, Kedei Netila, or does it spread Kedei Kulo? Is it like mamish like a pot, a hot pot that spreads throughout the whole onion? So machlokas, and there can be chumras in both directions. On the one hand, if it spreads throughout the whole onion, your whole onion is in danger. On the other hand, if it spreads throughout the whole onion, if it's a thin knife, then it'll be batel. I say it can, let's say it can cut both ways. It can go both ways. I'm sorry, that was unintentional. So that question of how far things spread is one that's complex. We haven't gotten into much. But yeah, obviously that impacts practical bitul b'shishim. Now is maybe also a good moment to review what I've said in the past, the following caveat. We will, Baruch Hashem, be walking out. You will be walking out with a thorough, Mirtz Hashem, a thorough understanding of the principles of Basar B'chalav. Mirtz Hashem, which is amazing kinyan. It obviously does not mean that you will be fully competent and qualified to paskin a basar b'chalav shayla, because obviously there are details beyond the scope of learning parakal basar in 12th grade for several weeks. And Baruch Hashem, you guys are learning very well. Gevaldik. To fully paskin a shayla basar b'chalav, you would need several more years of learning under your belt, and then to not only be dipping into individual selections in Shulchan Aruch and Shachin Taz, but obviously this would be a half a year or a year of learning these sugyas ba'omek u'barochav. So it goes without saying that you should be still asking shilas and basar b'chalav, and if anything, you're probably asking more shilas and asking them more intelligently, because you'll be noticing things, you'll be understanding things, you'll be sensitive to what the parameters are and to where the shilas lie. So obviously, here's an example. Right? As whether or not I wouldn't be so quick to say, oh, but batul b'shishim, until you know, well, how far is it going? Right? So that issue of how far the flavor spreads is something that we're not focusing on. But in principle, maybe you could have batul b'shishim. Yes. Nassal Yitzchak, a question. It's a three machlok is Rivid. I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's Rivid, Rajba, and Rush. That line of the Shulchan Aruch, we stopped right before that line of the Shulchan Aruch. If you look back at the Shulchan Aruch, it's still up on the screen. If you look back at the Shulchan Aruch, he started saying, the previous Sif Aleph, he started saying, well, you have to be notel, yedud kedei netila. So that was, the Shulchan Aruch passed like the middle position. I think the Rivet says it's only a Kedei Klipa, less, just the first thin layer. Then others say more. The Rashba on our Sugi, in the Chiddush HaRashba, lays out much of this Machlokas. Look in the Rush and the Rashba on our Sugi, you will see that they give this to you. Okay. Okay. The Vilna Gaon, the Gimel starts saying, look at the Ran, look at the Tafei, the Torah Habayis of the Rashba. Okay. Good. Very good question. Right? That's a whole other dimension of this Shaila. Yeah, Nassal Yitzchak and DJ. Sure. Oh, good question. If you cut an onion with a fleshik knife, and then you eat that onion, you still remain parv. That far we do not go. Right? That much of the coolest of napranat we do retain. So let's say you had sliced an onion, you were making soup, and you had sliced an onion with a fleshik knife. Or you made the soup in a fleshik pot, and you start by sauteing the onions at the bottom of the pot, but the pot was clean, so that you don't put that much. It's not that fleshy. But it would be a problem to put cheese in that soup, not only lechatchila, even b'dieved. In other words, if you had cut onions with a fleshik knife, and then you made soup with those onions, and you sprinkled cheese in afterwards, we would tell you you might have to think of bittul b'shishim. You might have to throw out that soup. So the soup is you're absolutely not allowed to eat the soup with the milchiks, but the soup doesn't make you fleshik, right? Because there aren't any particles of fleshik. You only become There aren't any particles of fleshik, so you're not going to, and there isn't any grease or gook of fleshik, so then you're not going to become fleshik. You're allowed to eat milchiks afterwards. Yeah. One last question, DJ. What's considered to be davar? Which food is considered to be davar? Great question. We're going to get to that tomorrow. That's one of the issues I want to discuss tomorrow. Good segue, but I think from a time perspective, we're going to say that's one of the issues we're going to save for tomorrow. That's actually our last question. I've been throwing around sort of loosely, if you were tracking over the course of Shir, the Gemara said tzanon. The Gemara said radishes. Who has radishes at home? And if you do, they're probably not sharp radishes. And if you have radishes at home, they're probably like the ones that are purple on the outside and white on the inside. Red radishes, they're usually called. Those are not sharp at all. You might or may not like the taste, but they're not sharp. The sharp radishes are the black radishes, which maybe if you have a really good fruit and vegetable store in your area, you might see them. You probably don't buy them. So I was throwing around radishes, but also onions and pickles and horseradish. So tomorrow we'll see the Rishonim actually discuss what makes something sharp. How about lemons? You slice lemons. Yes. Yeah, so oranges are probably not davar harf. Good. So we're gonna have to get into Zimrichem tomorrow. That's one of the things we'll take up is what is a davar harf? Or to put it differently, which food should I be pulling out a plastic fork and a plastic knife to make sure that it stays parf? And if I slice a tomato with a clean fleshek knife, the tomato is absolutely parf. Tomato is not a davar harf, right? But if I slice a davar harf with a fleshek knife, okay, now it's a problem. So if it's a davar harf, I'm going to want to use a plastic knife if I want to keep it parf. Right? If I want to make myself a solid an hour from now, I'm going to sit down for some. Now we have a longer lunch break. I'm going to make myself a Spanish onion. I'm going to saute a Spanish omelet. I'm going to saute some onions and use them to stuff my omelet. Sounds delicious, right? So let's say what am I cutting that onion with? If I cut it with a fleshik knife, the onion is probably davar harf. If I cut it with a fleshik knife, it's going to be fleshik. Or if I cut it with a milchik knife, that's great for your salami and egg, for your eggs and cheese, but only if I'm using the whole onion. If I'm only planning to use half the onion, and the other half we're saving for, we're putting it in a Ziploc bag in the fridge, don't cut it with a milchik knife. It'll become milchik. Better to take a paper plate and a plastic knife, so everything is parv, and cut the onion. Or take a parv of a metal knife, but cut the onion parv and put away the other half parv, and that way you don't make anything milchik or fleshik. Okay, so once again we've entered the world of davar harif. Tzanon shechasacho besakin from a Talmudic perspective, simin sarivav from the terms of the organization of Yoredeya, of Tur and Shulchan Aruch. And we so far saw two chidushim, two aspects of the magic of davar harf. Number one, that it is a method of time transfer when combined with pressure, duchka de sakina, the pressure of a knife, the pressure of a fork, the pressure of a grinder. And that in halacha lamais, we pass like the second sheet in Rashi, it is an exception to the usual kula of not bar not. If you're frying onions in a clean fleshik pan, or you're slicing onions with a clean fleshik knife, those onions actually become fleshik. They don't make you fleshik. You're allowed to eat milchiks afterwards, but the onions themselves mamish become fleshik. If you mix them with cheese, they will potentially go in the garbage. Again, and once again, to review that last point, don't automatically throw them in the garbage. Ask a shayla. Maybe there's a bittul b'shishim. Maybe there's some other aspect you're not seeing. But at the very least, there's what to discuss. those onions actually are really, really fleishig. They're not merely a not bar not, because davar charif amps up the flavor beyond a normal not bar not. We will continue this. We're going to go weiter in shiur tomorrow. Other aspects of the sugya. There's another chiddush, major chiddush of davar charif to come. Right now, we're going to head to seder.